Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hey, everybody, it is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. You can catch me at least once a week over on the Copyblogger blog, and I also write some more mindset and ranty kind of stuff at Remarkable Communication. Remember, you can always get the show notes for every episode, and that will include links, often includes some free extras, by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm, and you can also get the complete show archive there. Today is part one of Shane Snow and Joe Lazauskas talking about the storytelling edge. Since Shane and Joe had a lot to say about storytelling, rather than cut the conversation artificially short, we have broken this one into two parts for you. So today is fun. I've got guests. I always enjoy having guests. I am talking with Shane Snow and Joe Lazauskas of Contently. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Fantastic.
Doing well. As you can hear, a little bit sick, a little bit nasally, kind of sound like the male Fran Drescher. And I'm going to channel some of that pizzazz and energy here today.
But Joe is a trooper, though, and just like Fran, I think.
Right.
Can't be stopped.
Yeah, not as good of a cleaner, though, unfortunately, as my girlfriend knows.
All right. Well, we'll do our best, and we'll try and spare Joe's voice as much as we can. Before we get started, you guys have a really, really cool new project, and I'm excited to talk about that. But we have all kinds of people listening to this podcast, and some of them don't know what Contently is yet. So can you just kind of give us the thumbnail of what it is, what it does for people, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So Contently started about 7 years ago, seven and a half now. And the idea is originally was that we would connect journalists, out-of-work reporters, and video producers with brands that wanted to do content marketing. So if you're a freelancer, we'd help you get work. If you're a brand, we'd help you find talent. And over the last 7 years, Contently turned into that plus about 10 other things that all kind of add up to tools and services and software platform to help brands tell great stories, and at the same time to help creative people make some money to put food on the table. So we've been doing that for 7 years. We work with mostly big enterprises, so not a whole lot of small businesses. It's mostly the Coca-Colas and American Expresses and companies like that. And we have this whole toolkit to help you not just create content, but figure out what to do with it, use data to make sure that it's working for your business, and kind of a lot of the things that Copyblogger talks about, sort of the mechanizing of that content marketing process if you're a really big company. But throughout all of it, Joe and I, and Joe's been there since almost the very beginning, and I was one of the founders. Throughout it, we've been doing this because we are passionate about content and stories and creativity, and so we've been writing about this for ages. And so a big part of Contently is our blog and our magazine, where we talk about all of this stuff and try and make it relevant for the modern marketer.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you guys have a super cool new project, a new book called The Storytelling Edge. Do I have that right?
That's it. Yeah. So the book came out of all of that, I guess, blogging and Joe and I late at night on weekends having drinks and arguing about the future of media and what stories really mean and kind of digging into that over the last 6 years or so, the two of us, and that turned into this book, which we're really excited about.
Yeah, it's really cool. I just been poking around a little bit, and I love kind of some of the questions you're asking and the approaches you're taking. Let's talk about just a few things that you might touch on in the book. I'd like to just give, you know, whet people's appetite a little bit. And I know that one of the things that you explore is actually just physiologically, like what happens in the brain when we get when a good story, you know, comes across our ears or our eyes. What is it that actually happens within our human selves when we hear a great story?
Yeah, so I think we all know we've experienced this, right, of when you're in an amazing movie and you're at the edge of your seat, that kind of the entire world melts away around you, where you're not really aware of your surroundings. Think of when you're seeing an awesome James Bond movie or a Die Hard movie or Harry Potter, any other story that you really love, kind of the entire world melts away around you. And a big reason for this is that our brains are hardwired for stories. It's how we've passed on and stored information since we were sitting around campfires and, you know, chasing off people from trying to steal our woolly mammoth steaks. And it's how, before written language, we passed on information from generation to generation, where to go to find food and water, dangers to avoid. And it's how we build connections with one another. And actually, when we hear really good stories, the neurons in our brain fire at 5 times the level that they do normally. And at the same time, there's basically an empathy drug called oxytocin gets released in our brain. And the combination of this makes it so that we remember much more information from stories than we do from, say, just reading a memo or a fact sheet or a product page. And we also develop a feeling of relationship with the protagonist or the person that's telling us the story. We feel connected with them. We feel like they're a member of our tribe, a member of our family. And that's why, you know, we've seen so much that storytelling is incredibly powerful in marketing and advertising. It allows you to actually build deeper relationships with people. And ultimately, as a company, that's what your business boils down to in some way. You know, of course, you want to sell things to people, but you want loyalty. You want people to be advocates for your brand. You want them to feel something really strong about you. As a leader, this is what it's all about, right? You want your team to feel connected to you. You want other people in your company to rally around you. You want to inspire the industry. And, you know, what we've seen in growing Contently, you know, where all of our marketing has basically just been telling stories, whether through presentations or videos or stuff on our blog or our magazine or this book, you know, we just believe that and have seen that stories are the most effective way to supercharge your business, supercharge yourself as a leader, as a person in the world. And we're so passionate about it. And that all ultimately comes back to the science of what happens to stories in our brain and using that to your advantage.
So I actually, some time ago experienced this, this science in a very real way in a laboratory, where a neuroscientist put the Streptis machine to me and then had me watch commercials, and they basically monitored what was going on in my brain. And so it generated this big chart, and I watched these commercials, and it would track how emotionally engaged I was based on my oxytocin levels. And it actually, and there's this commercial that I watched about this, it's an HP actually piece of content marketing about this father, trying to connect with his teenage daughter who was kind of like, you know, she was kind of being a jerk. And over the course of this, this video, it's great actually. If you Google HP, dad video, I think it's the first thing that comes up. But at the end of the video, I actually teared up, and, because it was such an amazing emotional story. And they showed me, you know, based on measuring my brain, this huge spike in my attention and my emotion at this part when I teared up. But they also showed all the other parts where I was emotionally engaged and where more of my imagination was activated in this story. And things like that, we're learning, even just in the last few years, just how much certain elements of stories can grab us in the ways that Joe's talking about, and not just, you know, for tearjerker commercials, but in any way. And it's all about getting human beings to find things to relate to, and to activate more of their senses, which is what's so cool about stories. Even if you're reading a story or if you're listening to, say, a podcast, or you know, someone's just telling you a story, your brain fills in all of this sensory information and imagines what things looked like, smelled like, sounded like, and this all adds up to your brain starting to care about this thing more than it would about some other piece of information.
Yeah, that is, it's really cool and powerful, and that's just really interesting that they kind of hook you up and actually can see that, that physical response that connects to the emotional response. You mentioned some elements, and I know that you guys have kind of identified four elements of really great storytelling, and I thought it would be very cool if you could just walk through what those are.
Yeah, so this is something that we talk about in the book, that, you know, there's a lot of ways to kind of break down what makes a good story. But to us, there's kind of four categories of things that if you have all of them in a story, then it's the kind of story that will keep people's attention and keep them engaged, and you can kind of take them as long as you want. And the four elements in brief are novelty, relatability, fluency, and tension. So novelty is basically your brain perks up when it sees something new. More of it lights up because it wants to know, is this a threat? Is this something that could be important to my survival? So a story that has elements of something new will get your attention. But in order to keep you around, and often in order to get you to even invest in the first place, a good story needs to start in a place of familiarity, of relatability. This is often where great characters kind of hook you. So people that you can relate to, villains that you can relate to. We talk a lot about Star Wars. You know, the villains in Star Wars are all family members, right? And there you can see how, you know, the bad guys used to be good guys and how you could become that too. Those kinds of things that are sort of familiar stories or familiar plot lines, that helps your brain get comfortable and start to relate. And then the novelty keeps it interested. So you kind of want to stay in this zone of escalating the newness and the novelty and the surprise while you know, while starting in that place of relatability. And the other two, I think, are things that are less talked about, but I think very crucial. Fluency is what we call the ability to interpret a story or to get through a story quickly and easily without having to think about the mechanics. So if you think about it, sometimes you ever have a conversation with someone who uses outrageously big words just to sound smart. And you know, one, it's obnoxious, but two, it's difficult. And we have this misconception with stories and with writing. And this is something that I love about what Copyblogger preaches, because I think you guys have it exactly right. You know, we think that sounding smart, that writing at a high reading level, that having a lot of complexity is what makes your content good. But it turns out it's actually the opposite. People love Harry Potter because, not because it's a kid's book, but because any age level can get into it. It's easy to get into the story, whether you're 5 years old or 45 years old or 75 years old. And that's fluency. And whether it's in movies or in writing or in conversation, a story that doesn't make you stop and think about the vocabulary, that doesn't make you stop and think about the, you know, what is exactly going on, that's a fluent story. And that keeps people engaged. And then the fourth thing is tension, which is basically comes from all the way back in the day with Aristotle. Aristotle said that a great story is about establishing what is, how the world is now for a character or for whoever, and then establishing what could be. And, you know, some people will say what the characters want or whatever it is, but the world could be a certain way, but right now it's this way. And the gap between those things is the story. And that's what tension is about. You know, so you have good guys that they want to beat the bad guys, or they want to survive, or whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be so dramatic. It doesn't have to be life and death, but it has to be establishing those two things. And you do that over and over and over in a story, and you can escalate, you know, that gap and that tension once you get people invested in caring about these relatable characters and all of that. With those four elements, it's kind of hard to go wrong. And yet, a lot of times when we say we're telling stories, especially in business, we're actually missing most of those. You know, our stuff is too complex. It's hard to get through. It's too jargony. It's hard to relate to. It's not anything new. So why do you care? And there's no tension because you already know how it's going to turn out. Or you know, there's no plot there.
Yeah, so
those are kind of the main ones.
And I would just underscore that point. You know, as our head of content strategy, I work and audit clients' content all the time and their competitors' content. And there's honestly an epidemic right now of content that is made almost with the sole intention of seeming professional or advanced. So this is, despite the digital world that we live in, the way that we consume content as individuals, you know, when you're going around surfing the web, you're not searching for hard to read, dry, jargony white papers mm-hmm. to download and zoom in on all over the web. And yet in especially high consideration industries, B2B tech, finance, this is the majority of the content that's being put out there. And it honestly, in a logical way, makes no sense. And that was, you know, a big inspiration for us in writing this book, is knowing and seeing, you know, the fact that right now 5% of all branded content on the web gets 90% of the attention. There's only a very small chunk of content that's very good in garnering attention for people. And then a lot of content that just isn't crafted from a story perspective, from a format perspective, to be very engaging. And a lot of this is because marketers just don't always learn these lessons, especially coming from more technical disciplines, but then being tasked with creating content for their organization as content marketing has taken off. So we wanted to write a book to help, you know, every marketer, every business person understand how to tell better stories and up their game.
Yeah, and even in technical industries, there are still, if you're preaching to an audience that is technically minded, that they know, you know, the topic, there's still human ways to tell stories. There's human beings behind every, you know, industry that you could be talking about, and human beings affected by those industries. And those are the kinds of stories, those are the kinds of hooks that get people interested more so than just laying out this sort of smattering of stats and jargon.
Yeah, I'm on a crusade. I have been for many years at Copyblogger to help people understand that making your work clearer or more accessible, I love that term, fluency, that's a really cool term, is not about dumbing it down. It's not about watering the ideas down. It's just about presenting them more clearly with less friction. And it's, you know, I think, especially in those technical disciplines, you know, there is partly maybe a feeling that it has to be dense and chewy, or else it's not robust, which is not true. And then the other thing, of course, is, you know, that old expression that easy reading is damn hard writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not all that easy to create sometimes. But yeah, no, I love that you guys are championing that intention, because I think people who never really, you know, played around with writing short stories or screenplays or something might miss that. That's kind of a technical piece of the tension between what you have and where you're going. I think marketers get it, but a lot of times, you know, content marketers, they don't see it. So I love that you're kind of highlighting that, because I think that's cool.
Yeah, and I think it definitely often just gets lost, especially inside large organizations, as, you know, content gets filtered through the car wash of brand managers and lawyers and everything. So, you know, we also wanted this to be a book that people could give to their compliance team, to their CMO, yes, to their CEO, and help champion the cause. But, you know, I think Copyblogger has been on the forefront of this forever. I've been giving Copyblogger's guides to all my interns and new employees for, you know, the last 7 years.
So, yeah, that's true. You know, I remember when you started doing that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're big fans.